can't sleep, trapped in my own mind. Anxiety. Drowning in the darkness, just can't see the light.
Depression.
Doubtful, insecure, can I really do this?
Imposter syndrome.
I'm alone, unloved, just feel invisible.
That's loneliness.
We're not therapists, but we need one.
Hello, and welcome to We're Not Therapists,
But We Need One.
The podcast where we have honest and vulnerable conversations about our mental health with one another.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Anthony, and neither of us are therapists.
But we're trying to help ourselves and each other by sharing our experiences and feelings.
In this show, we'll deep dive into topics like anxiety, depression,
self-esteem, trauma, and more.
We'll talk about how they affect us,
how we cope,
and what we've learned along the way.
We're not doing this to bash or blame anyone,
especially our families, who may have contributed to our mental health challenges.
We're doing this to heal and grow,
and hopefully inspire others who can relate and open your mind to your own healing.
We also want to warn you that this show may contain some sensitive and triggering content.
We'll be talking about personal and painful things that happen to us and how they still affect us to this day.
If you're not comfortable with that, or if you feel like you need professional help,
this show may not be for you. But
if you're ready to join us on this journey of self-discovery and self-improvement, we're glad to have you.
We're not experts, but we're honest and we're not alone.
Now, let's start the timer. Anthony, how do you feel today?
Hey, I'm doing all right. How are you?
Oh my gosh, I'm tired.
Yeah, I feel that today too. It's been a whole fucking day.
Yeah, it's been busy.
Yeah, that I know that's for true.
That's for true.
Yeah, I've had this weird like issue at work that it's not an issue, it's just I get really irritated with the lack of communication that we have in our business as a whole. And so it's like it's irritating me, but it's also helping my case to sort of form a new position that's centered around bridging some of these gaps. But once a month we do this like full inventory of all of our finished good products, like our sellable products. And our largest production site usually has about 5,000-ish skids of product on hand at any given time. And it turns out they were reworking 400 plus of those, but they didn't put any of them into like the quality location system to basically say like, hey, we're reworking these, so we're pulling them out of general stock because they're not sellable right now. And anyways, they didn't do that because, and I quote, that would have been a lot of work.
Sounds right.
And so I have since been chasing my tail trying to fix their shit. So it's created a lot of work for me. And so anyways, I am just like, I've let it be known that I have severe irritation, but I also have a meeting with my boss tomorrow about that. And also like basically creating a sort of analyst role to watch for things like this.
Oh, well, that's fun.
Yeah. Well,
should be.
I'm already being used as an analyst, which is fine, but because I like the work, but I don't get paid like an analyst. And so I'm going to talk to him about that too, because I get requests for reports. Like people request me to build reports for them. And I don't mind because I like doing it, but I also, I'm not being paid like an analyst should be paid.
Right.
So anyways. That sounds
really normal.
It's very normal. Yeah. So that's been my irritation of the week. What's your irritation of the week?
So really I've been good. It's just been, everything's hectic. Work is very busy. Personal life is very busy. Yeah, it's been a lot.
Yeah,
I keep
feel
saying
that.
because I'm just like sitting here going, what is going on? But I have like
the hallmark of somebody who is busy.
Yeah. I have my vacation coming up in roughly 5 weeks.
Nice. Good.
And so I decided to really just like commit a ton of my time to, well, not a ton of my time, but every weekday to gym time now.
Yes, I do that as well.
Because I was like, all right, you're going to go to the gym and you're going to watch what you're eating for just 5 weeks. Like, all you have to do is fight hard for 5 weeks. And you should be a little bit better by the cruise. And then, like, after that, you don't have to fight quite as hard, but get down to where you want and then just maintain yourself. That's all you have to do.
I love those conversations with yourself in your head that are like, that's all. That's all you got to do. That's it.
That's all you got to do.
It's like just these colossally difficult things, like notoriously difficult things, like going to the gym regularly.
You just literally have to sacrifice hours of your life on a regular basis,
right,
to just stop being such a fat little fuck all the time. Like, I don't know what's so hard about
that. What's your problem, right? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's super easy. It's the whole reason why that's almost never anybody's New Year's resolution, because they can just make those changes whenever they want.
Yeah, exactly. You get it.
I know, because I go to the gym every fucking day, and sometimes, Jay, I hate it.
So to be fair,
most of the time I don't, but
I've been using my apartment gym for a long time, which, you know, it's small, and it was a really, really good, I call it a starter gym, because it had good decent equipment for starting, and it kind of got me comfortable with myself without the, I don't know. Especially for someone who is still a little, like, gym self-conscious.
Yeah. Well, I mean, God, who isn't? I swear.
It got me more comfortable with doing this. And now I have joined, like, an official real gym that I pay way too much for. But I'm in love with the gym. So it's, like, super motivating me to go. And I love it. And I actually know people that go there, so I run into them randomly.
That does make a little bit of a difference. I do like, sometimes I like knowing people at the gym that I'm going to, and I gotta tell you, sometimes I don't. There are times luckily, I'm just like, I don't really want to know anybody
here. See, luckily, these are not people that want to, like, stand and talk forever.
Oh, good.
And so if they were, I'd be like, no, I'm actually kind of in my zone, so please leave me alone. Because as we've talked about on our other show, my taste in gym music is atrocious, and it makes me kind of a douchey bro when I'm at the gym. So I just want to—I don't want to be in my douche bro zone trying to communicate with my friends.
That's—I mean, I'm usually not a douche, but there is like a—I get in my head space a lot where I'm like, okay, you can do this. I'm sitting there like motivating myself, and it's not like it's not the best headspace to be in whenever you want to have a nice, delightful conversation.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
And so I get it. I was sitting there on the treadmill today and listening to, I can't even fucking remember some song on my playlist. And I was just in it to win it, man. And I hate the treadmill. So I have to be in a headspace that lets me sort of forget that I'm on the treadmill, I guess. And anyways, I caught a look at myself in the mirror, and I was walking with all the confidence of a straight white man who was born into a billionaire family.
So that's actually why I like my gym playlist. It gives me this perfect walk where I feel in the zone really well, and like I look up and I'm like, wow, I like look like I know what I'm doing.
That's, you know, funny thing about that is that at the gym, I actually do know what I'm doing. I just,
now,
most of the time,
I mean,
I
now
don't
I
feel
do.
Like I'm very in shape compared to everybody else, I guess. And I do end up comparing myself to other people on there, which I think is pretty normal for a lot of people. But
have you ever ran your weights through ChatGPT? Like what you're lifting and...
No. One of my coworkers does a lot of ChatGPT workout consulting, and he swears by it. I just, you know, I don't know. I feel like I'm in a certain place. I don't know. Anyways, go on with what your point was, because surely you were going somewhere with that.
Well, I was just meaning that I'm also going to swear by the ChatGPT life, because I use it for... let's turn my fan on. I use it for basically tracking what I do.
Right.
And so I have it help me design a schedule, and if I don't like what it does, I say, no, let's not do that. Or, like, I don't like doing things where I need a spotter and things like that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, make this machine-based, blah, 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 blah. And also on top of that, well, I don't know what's in there. On top of that, I'm able to track my weights. Like, okay, here's how much I used last week. Here's, you know, what's your recommendation? I've never used this machine before. And so usually it recommends lower than what I can handle, and it makes me feel good. because she'll be like, start here. And then I'm like, okay, well, I did this number. And she's like, oh, wow. And so it's almost in this stupid way, like, motivating. Because I'm like, oh, ChatGPT thinks I'm so strong.
My mom said.
And, but in general, like, I really appreciate being able to go pull up my drill schedule, or my drill schedule. Jesus, I've worked in oil and gas too long. Pull up my gym schedule today, and it'll tell me, like, here's the machines you need to use based off of your hour long that you said you want to be there, including your 10 minutes of cardio up front. Here's the machines to use. Here's how many reps and how many times. Here's the weights that you used last time. I recommend moving up to this. And so it's almost kind of a way for me to be like, yeah, okay, she said that I should be able to move up to this, so let me see. And so it's kind of a way to keep me accountable, to keep challenging myself.
I see what you're saying.
Which, and
I mean, that makes 100% sense.
I've really appreciated it. And she's also introducing me to kind of machines that I've never used before. And I really appreciate it. And yeah, so it's been helpful, because I'm not like, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. And then I also, like, in that same chat, I kind of keep track of what I eat, because I'm also on a calorie deficit right now.
Right.
And so I'm on this diet plan where I have to have just a slight bit of a deficit, but I don't want much, because I want to make sure that my body's processing properly. And so, like, it's done a really good job at recommending, like, what I should eat after I work out, like, when to eat and stuff like that to benefit my body most for the gym and after the gym. And I don't know. It's felt super nice. Like, I feel really in control with what I'm doing for somebody who never really went to the gym much ever in his life to do only anything but cardio.
Well, I mean, that makes sense. Honestly, I think it's a good way to make the gym more accessible for people who don't want to have conversations with people at the gym and really want to help understand more of, you know, what's available to them, because there are a lot of machines there that people don't know. I had to show a couple of kids how to hook up one of the cable row machines the other day, because it was one that used dual cables and they were trying to figure out how to connect it to the handle. And I was like,
oh yeah. I was like, if you never go to a gym and you look at a machine, there's so many that I'm just like, the fuck is this thing?
Yeah. And that's true. I guess I'm just, I'd never been like a gym bro, but I guess being in the military, I know enough about the gym.
Oh yeah. That helps a lot.
Yeah. And so, I don't know. I know enough that I don't feel uncomfortable doing what I want to do at the gym. If that
so
makes
I
sense.
Did, and basically ChatGPT made me feel comfortable, because it was like, here's your machine, and then I'd be like, I don't know what the fuck to do on that. Like, I don't get it. And then she'd be like, oh, well, this is how you do it. And so then, like, now I'm comfortable with all the machines I use.
Yeah. So that's really nice. I think that's a great option, honestly.
I feel really good with it, and I'm glad that I'm utilizing it that way.
Yeah, I think my biggest hope with AI is that it stays accessible to everyone, and that we find a way for it to not use hundreds of thousands of gallons of water.
Oh my God, right?
Because I love the concept of it giving you access to things that capitalism has made otherwise horribly expensive. Like, what you're talking about is awesome, because who can afford a personal trainer? But everybody wants to get in shape. Like, it's just a normal motivation that most people have, is just, I want to get in shape, but I don't know what to do, and I don't know where to start.
Which, speaking of, since we're a mental health podcast, what have you noticed different about yourself since gymming more on a regular basis?
I have a lot more mental clarity than I used to before I got back into the gym. I obviously have got more energy as well, and I'm generally in a better mood most of the time. I'm not going to say all the time, because we've been doing a lot of social events too, and holy shit.
Reggie, get down. That is not yours. He's like on the back of the couch trying to get my packages I got in from Amazon today.
Asshole.
Anyways, I've noticed that, well, the same thing. I have a lot more energy. My mood, I don't know. I just don't have as many, like, spoofy mood days.
Yeah.
Where I'm just like, I don't give a fuck. I'm not in a mood. Like, I feel a lot more regulated on my mood. I'm hoping that I don't set off my smoke alarm, because that chicken smoked more than I anticipated. But, and apartments are notorious for setting off at the slightest way. Anyways, but I've noticed that. I've also noticed that my motivation is drastically increased.
My motivation to do the gym is pretty good. My motivation to do work, I mean, I guess it's fine. I don't notice that I think I'm better off because I will do things that I otherwise wouldn't do. Like, I'm not just getting, even whenever I don't have to go to the gym or at other times of the day, I don't just come home and sit on the couch and do nothing. I do try to accomplish other things.
Well, and that's it.
It's not like a fight to do it.
It's like, yes, exactly. It's like at home, I catch myself a lot more easily going, hey, you can go ahead and just organize while you're doing this. Well, and things like that. And I'm like, oh, this is kind of nice. And even my lazy days feel good because I don't have them often. And I feel like I utilize them well. And normally I still get chores done. Like Sunday I was kind of lazy and I did laundry. And just a bunch of random chores around the house. And they just don't feel daunting anymore.
Yeah, I can see that. And I guess I haven't thought about it as much, but I never think that chores feel daunting right now.
Oh, yeah. Mine definitely used to all the time. Like, but I also feel like that might have been some of my depression.
Totally but get that.
I'm also kind of researching basically ways to benefit my ADHD and things. And so I never really obsessed over making my bed because I was like, I'm just going to fuck it up in a minute. Yeah. But recently I've really gotten set on a structure where I'm like, nope, you're going to make the bed. And after doing that for a few weeks, I now kind of have this like obsession where it feels comfortable.
It's funny that you mentioned that. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just like, and it makes me feel like my day is so much more put together when I start it that way.
Well, so Joe has been making his side of the bed pretty much every morning. I am trying to remember to do it before I leave. And Sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. I'm definitely not perfect at it. I'd probably say at this point more often than not I don't, because I just don't. We never used to do it.
Yeah.
And it was something that he didn't really talk to me about. He just sort of started doing it. And there's this phenomenon in relationships that whenever you really want your partner to start doing something, the best way to get them to start doing something, like building a habit, is to start displaying the habit yourself.
Right.
And so I'm like, he hasn't necessarily said anything about it, but I started trying to be like, oh, hey, I need to remember to make my side of the bed. Sometimes I do and sometimes I don't, but at least I think about it now, and I never did before.
Yeah.
And so I'm just like, oh, he's training me right now. Pavlov's hospital corners.
And I can't get over how now that I've like made myself do it on a regular basis, it's like part of my routine now. Like I get dressed, I get ready, I'm showered. And before I can leave the bedroom, I have to make my bed, and then I open my blinds and I leave.
Well, there's something about getting into a bed that's made that is just very satisfying.
Because now, like, it makes my life feel so much more organized, that what I've started doing is I catch myself on a regular basis organizing other things. The only problem I'm still running into is I am really good about leaving my shoes scattered in my bedroom. And so, like, I'll wear a pair, take them off, and then wear another pair the next day and take them off, and they kind of just start piling around these same spots. And so what I have to do is there's something about my brain that I'm like, no, you're not going to pick them all up and put them away. But after you wear this pair, you're going to pick up another pair and bring it back. And so I, like, slowly bring it back. I don't understand myself on this one. But the shoes thing is now the thing that's bothering me, so I'm trying to get in a habit again of being very good with that, because like the bed thing has triggered me to be like, why don't you do other things?
So that is also funny, because we, since replacing those floors, I've tried to make a concerted effort to make sure laundry doesn't end up on my side of the bed. Like, it's going to end up there a little bit, but it used to pile up and accrue so fast and so much. And so I have recently put this banana bread in the oven.
Banana.
But anyways, I moved a clothes hamper in right next to the door to the bedroom. Mm-hmm. And so now it holds the door open. It props it open. And that way, if I somehow make it to the bedroom and I haven't put my clothes in the laundry room, which is where I usually put them, then I can put them in the hamper.
Yeah.
It's like an extra opportunity to put the clothes in the right spot.
Right.
And I've noticed that there are significantly less clothes hanging out on my side of the bed.
It's funny, like dirty clothing, I am obsessive about, what, because I pre-divide all my stuff. I have multiple baskets in my closet. And so like basically my laundry is pre-divided as I go. And then when one basket fills up, I just run that load. Or if I'm like running out of underwear, then I'll be like, okay, time to run this basket. So that has made, I've loved that. It's made laundry not feel daunting, because it's just like, oh, grab the basket and run.
Right.
It does make it easier to put away your laundry. Because you're like, oh yeah, I only have to do this one load. Where I'm still struggling is if I do multiple loads and then like one of them I'm pushing into the late evening, that one will be stuck in the dryer for a while. Unless it's like delicates, like my dress shirts and all that stuff, or my like nicer shirts.
I will say our current big thing that we don't do is fold laundry in any sort of a timely manner. Because what ends up happening, because of the few amount of guests that we ever have at the house and how far back in the corner that guest room is, put the laundry on top of the guest bed. And it sort of lives there because nobody's ever in there.
Yeah, I have cats, so.
I know. It's a very different situation for us because we have two dogs, and I just make sure they can't go in there for any reason whatsoever. But I mean, it gets done. I feel like I like doing the laundry. I hate folding the laundry.
I hate hanging my nice stuff. Actually, I hate hanging things at all. But like putting away underwear, towels, stuff like that, love it. Doesn't bother me at all. I'm actually not as bad with socks as I used to be. It's really just hanging up clothing. I hate it.
Yeah, I get that, because I also hate, I hate hanging up clothing. I hate folding shirts, because Joe is, he's not like overly particular about how shirts are folded, but he's way better at it than I am. And not, and I promise you, listener, I'm not one of those people who's like, ah, you're better at it than me, and I'm just trying not really hard not to do it good, so I don't have to do it. But it is like a thing that I'm not as good at as he is, and I cannot get it down for some reason. He does those, like, he does those folds that you find in, you know, retail stores.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's easy. Yeah. I'm used to that, too. I learned that from somebody I dated in retail.
It's easy for everyone but me, damn.
I was like, no, I dated somebody in retail and wanted to learn because, you know, I'm a people pleaser, and so.
Well, I do fold them like that. I'm just not as good at it as he is. And
oh, I'm sure he's better.
He's way better
than me, for sure.
But he doesn't say anything about it, but sometimes he'll make a comment. And I'm like, I know I'm not as good at this, but... I'm trying, god damn it. Yeah. I'm not out here doing like, oh, well, you, why don't you just do it? But most of the time I do the laundry and he does fold it at some point, because he's just, he's better at it than I am.
He's got
a method, and he likes things. He likes certain things to be particular ways. He's not like that about everything, but there are certain things he is. And so I try not to cross that line too often.
I will say, in dating, I do a lot for the other person just habitually because that's just who I am. And god damn it, I would love to date someone that wants to do laundry.
Like, I like to do the laundry.
They may have some red flags that I could dodge if they're going to do laundry.
I like the smell of fresh laundry. Like, there's just something so nice about it. And nice. It was one of the things that whenever I was growing up, my mom would always, like, we had a laundry outhouse.
Oh, yeah.
Are you familiar with that? Yeah.
I am, so, yeah.
Yeah, so we had one of those, and you could, when she would do laundry, you could smell it, like, all the way down the block. So you just, it would always smell so good, and, like, so I've just, ever since then, I've always wanted to have my clothes clean.
Anthony, for listeners that don't know, what is a laundry outhouse?
So a laundry outhouse is kind of exactly what it sounds like. It was a detached building where we had sort of like a storage shed, but it also had our washer and dryer hookups. And so that's where we did our laundry, was in this detached building from our house. And it was just, I think what it was they had built a shed there. And then at some point, whenever they decided to do some extra plumbing on the house, they added that, and that's where the washer and dryer hookups went, because they couldn't fit anywhere else in the house.
I love that, and I don't know why.
It's such an Oklahoma thing. It's a very small town Oklahoma thing to do. Small town Midwest. Like, this is the space that we have, so we're gonna figure it out.
I laugh because my grandma always tells a story about the traveling, what was he, traveling, like, construction guy that came through and built onto their old house when I, like, it was the one I remember her, built on the laundry room and bathroom.
That is because, so crazy.
Like, yeah, because.
Traveling construction guy.
He was a traveling construction guy that would build on stuff and put in plumbing for people, because when my mom was a kid, they had an outhouse, and my mom was born in 1959.
Oh, that's it's funny that you say that, because, like, my dad was born in 1958. I don't think they had an outhouse, so I think my grandpa had come up a little bit in the world by the time my dad was born. But my grandfather was one of those people who, like, hunted in the backwoods of Arkansas, skinned raccoons, and sold their pelts. And so, like, he was such a project guy where he would do, like, he made wine. He never drank a drop in his life, but he made wine because he could.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild. So, but no, my great grandma and my grandma on my mom's side both definitely had outhouses when they were growing up. And like the stories they tell, it's insane.
Oh, I know.
But it is wild to think like one generation removed was still outhouses.
Yeah. Oh my God. Right.
It's just crazy because you think that bathrooms are sort of an immutable fact of life in modern society.
And right?
It turns out they are kind of a little bit more recently everywhere.
Huh. I think my poor little salt thing is, I think a little charging pin on it broke.
Oh no.
I'm sad. Because I really... Oh, God damn it. And my pepper's out now. I'm not having a day, guys.
I made that banana bread, and now I'm like, fuck, I thought I was going to make something else, but I don't remember what it was.
Oh, man, I want dessert so bad. Although, I guess, technically, last night, I had a little bit of orange sherbet because I had room in my deficit still.
Oh, we bought this... what is it? And I'm just going to drive me crazy. Italian orange sherbet, but I don't know. It's whatever it is. It's really, really fucking good.
Well, I'm not going to put a whole bunch of pepper in here because it looks like I'm going to have to buy new ones. And on that note, we're at 30 minutes.
All right. Well, join us next week whenever this banana bread won't be done by then. So
join us next week when Jay is still struggling, just like when he left this week.
See you then.
Bye, guys. And we're out of time.
Thank you for joining us today on our show. As you can see, therapy is not always easy, but it can be very rewarding and healing.
If you want to follow our journey and see how we progress, tune in next episode for the continuation of We're Not Therapists, But We Need One.
Join us on our socials, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, and Instagram, and email us at nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
That's nopenottherapists. @gmail.com.
We would love to hear your thoughts on our journey or any questions you have that we can help answer. Until then,
stay safe.
Mental health is a serious and important issue that affects millions of people around the world.
If you or someone you know is struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, or have any other mental health conditions, you're not alone and there is help available.
You don't have to suffer in silence or feel ashamed of your feelings.
There are many resources and support networks that can help you cope and heal.
Here are just a few.
The Crisis Text Line, which is a 24/7 service that connects you to trained crisis counselors who can help you with any type of emotional crisis. You can text HOME to 741-741 in the US or Canada, or 85258 in the UK, or 50808 in Ireland. You can also visit crisistextline.org for more information.
The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is a 24/7 service that provides free and confidential support for people in distress, as well as prevention and crisis resources. You can call them at 1-800-273-8255 or chat online at suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
The Headspace app, which is a meditation and mindfulness app that can help you reduce stress, improve your mood, and enhance your well-being. The app offers guided meditations, breathing exercises, sleep sounds, and other tools that can help you relax and cope with your emotions. You can download the app for free and try it for 10 days or subscribe for unlimited access to all features. You can find the app on the App Store or Google Play or visit headspace.com for more information.
These are just some of the resources that we have found helpful, but there are many more out there that can suit your needs or preferences. The most important thing is to reach out for help when you need it and to know that you are not alone. Mental health is not a weakness, but a strength, and taking care of it is one of the best things you can do for yourself and your loved ones. Until next time.